This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, ready to roll on a Saturday morning. Thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR solutions with exceptional follow-through. Charlie, great to have you back in studio. How you doing this morning?
You know, I'm getting ready for the holiday season. I'm a little late, but we're still talking golf, and here we go.
Yeah, a lot to discuss, Charlie. Scottie Scheffler wrapped up his ninth win of the season last year. The PGA Tour is doing a great documentary comparing Scottie's ball striking in 23 and 24 to Tiger's in the early 2000s. I'm looking forward to that and discussing that with you. What a season for Scheffler.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, no.
And he takes it with a grain of salt. You know, it doesn't overwhelm him like it has some golfers. They get really tied up in how good they are, and all of a sudden they lose it. So I think he's here to stay. I think Randy Smith, his coach, he West Texas boy, he's got that philosophy, and they're going to handle it. They got a wonderful family and a wife, you know, a great, great girl. So he's got all the support system.
A reporter asked him at the end of last week, how will you reflect on these wins? And we're going to hear his answer a little bit later in the show, but he doesn't reflect, Charlie. He's not satisfied. He acknowledged that, you know, he didn't win everything this year. You know, he didn't win 50% of his tournaments. He still has a lot of work to do. Is that a common characteristic among the past greats of the game? Not being satisfied, not really reflecting on anything that's happened in the past?
Ask me that question one more time.
So did Jack ever kind of sit back, Jack and Tiger, when they were winning, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 majors, were they never stopped and kind of thought about what they had just done, did they? I mean, Scottie's not really looking to take the gas pedal off. And you look at the majors of next year, you know, you've got Augusta in April, you've got the PGA, which is going to be at Quail Hollow, you've got the U.S. Open at Oakmont. These are some venues where he can continue this run. And to me, it's just amazing how there's no satisfaction in sports a lot. You see after a big win, a lot of athletes, you know, they're ready to go party. They're ready to go hit the town. Not Scheffler.
You know, fame is a hard thing to come by. And once they get that, and take Arnold Palmer. You know, he was a poor kid. His dad, you know, superintendent. And all of a sudden, he became bigger than life itself. And that's cocktail parties, and you're all of a sudden elevated. You know, he became very close to the President of the United States. So those guys crave that. Even Jack Nicklaus. I mean, he's low-key, and, you know, he says, don't make it more important than it really is. But he craves that winning.
Yeah.
And so he played well into his 80s.
Yeah.
You know, he never wanted to be a showman, but he goes and starts Augusta every day, every year now.
Yeah.
And that's that inner feeling that they crave that attention.
Yeah.
And that fame is I've never experienced it.
Right.
But, you know, so I might be talking out of my left of my, you know, brain, but I think athletes crave that.
Charlie, you're getting pulled all different directions the last 3 weeks. I mean, you were in California three weeks ago. You played five rounds of golf at the Puerto Vallarta Pro-Am last week. You've had quite a last month heading into the holiday season.
You know, I have, and it's our off season, and my game has deteriorated to the point where I've got to start out at 2025 looking for a golf swing. And but I still enjoy being out there with the boys in Puerto Vallarta, Billy Sitton. It was his 37th anniversary of running one of the biggest pro-ams in the country. I mean, we had 900 people down there.
Wow.
We had 100 fivesomes, and we had fun. And they go right from the golf course to the pool. you know, and they stay in the pool until about 9 o'clock, and then they, you know, somehow find their room, and they start that over. But it's a great celebration of friendship and people returning to the same spot every year. It was really fun.
Two great courses there, in the Vista Vallarta course, which is a little smaller Parkland course. Then you've got the Weisskopf course, kind of up in the mountains, and you've got Vedanta down the street where they play the Mexico Open. It's a special community as far as the world of golf.
Yes, yes. Tourism is a big part of Mexico's economy and that part of the world. You know, you got beautiful ocean, the Bay of Campeche, you know, everything. So they have to keep that alive, because those resort towns, that's where they, you know, live by. So Puerto Vallarta is beautiful. Puerto Vallarta has some of the best weather ever in November, December. So it was fun.
You're not slowing down anytime soon, Charlie.
I'm slowing down.
And neither is 82-time winner Tiger Woods. It was interesting. We heard from him last week at the Hero, and he said he just had his, you know, sixth back operation since 2004, and the back's been bothering him all year. It was looking like we, you know, the way he was talking last week, we weren't going to get a chance to see him, you know, didn't nearly think at the end of this year and even into 2025, the body doesn't seem to be in good shape for Tiger, but he announced after the tournament last week that he'll be playing in the PNC Championship next weekend with his son Charlie. It'd be good to see the big cat out there.
Well, yeah, and reason is that he can take a cart. Yeah. It's just 36 holes. It's fun with his son.
Yeah.
And so I admire him for doing that, and he enjoys it. He enjoys seeing Charlie, his son, turning into the golfer that, you know, that he wants him to be.
Yeah. For Tiger, you know, where were we going with that? As far as Tiger and what we saw last week from him at the Hero, he just extended his deal with Hero in that tournament for another 10 years into 2030. Remember what I was going to ask you. You know, Tiger's starting up this TGL League, which we've talked a lot about. It's going to be an indoor simulation league every Tuesday on ESPN starting January 7th. Last week, Charlie, I was talking about how when Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, and Arnold Palmer went to the Champions Tour, that immediately got coverage on ESPN National. When Tiger turns 50 in almost a year now, do you think that that the Champions Tour will regain that coverage on the national programs?
We're just going to have to wait to see. I really don't know how they're going to do that. And now they're shrinking their product. Like you were telling me this morning, you know, instead of 144 guys playing every week, you're going to 100. So it's still in a turmoil, and we don't know where it's going to end.
No, we don't. We don't. There was some murmurs this week from Bloomberg, the business publication, that – you know, the PIF and the PGA Tour are coming together for a deal that's going to see the Saudis get about 6% of the PGA Tour. Once again, that's unconfirmed. We've heard multiple rumors week after week. The game needs to come together. I think we're going to be off to a good start this Tuesday, Charlie, as Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy will face off against Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau in a match. And, you know, Golf Digest came out with their monthly publication this week, and they're kind of marketing it as the game coming back together. But, you know, there is no vision in sight as far as when we're going to see these guys back together in a real competitive tournament besides the majors.
It's kind of hard to, you know, really imagine being in this shape. And the new season is just right around the corner, and we don't know where we are. So they've got to hurry up and get the table set, and let's go.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm looking for.
I think that if I were to guess, Charlie, I think the PGA Tour would give LIV Golf this time of the season if LIV would agree.
They're not going to give anything to anybody without getting cash.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think the tour is interested in having LIV as part of their spring schedule and LIV tournaments be woven in between the spring and the middle of the Arnold Palmer Invitational and the Memorial and the Majors. I think they want to give LIV the fall, but no one wants to be in the fall because you have football and college football and, you know, everyone wants to be part of the spring, Charlie.
Well, I think eventually we're going to have two leagues.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the National and American League baseball. Football's the same way. It's grown to that stature. I think this is what's going to happen to golf. We're going to have two leagues.
Wow. Well, they, listen, Liv's not going to get world number one, and this guy, Scottie Scheffler, he's on to some kind of run. I mean, once again, capturing his ninth win of 2024 last week.
Nine.
Joined Tiger and Victor Hovland as the only players to win in back-to-back fashion at the Hero. And then Wednesday, the PGA Tour announced, to none of our surprises, that Scheffler is the 2024 Player of the Year. Here was Scheffler when asked to reflect on a season that included a green jacket, a Players Championship, and an Olympic gold medal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never really good at that kind of stuff. I really do my best when I stay in the present. I've had, it's been a fantastic year. I'm very grateful for the season and grateful for the wins, and it's been a ton of fun. But at the end of the day, you know, we go home. I'm looking forward to doing stuff that's not golf. You know, I like to go home and live my life and enjoy my time at home. And I've had a little bit of time to reflect, but I'm not really sure how to assess it. Or, I mean, it's been pretty surreal. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm just really grateful.
Yeah, and as far as what he did this year, it is right up there when you look at the numbers as far as ball striking, driving. It was right up there with Tiger Woods in those prime seasons. Now, one of the most interesting things about last week was Scheffler switched to a claw putting grip, which we're going to get a little bit more from Charlie here on the other side on that. But he switched to the claw grip for shorter putts last week. It performed well for Scheffler at Albany. And we're going to inquire with Charlie about whether that's something he teaches, whether he thinks Scheffler continue to roll with that. We'll find out that from Charlie here on the other side. And as far as the world of golf, you've got three tournaments going on this week. You've got final stage of PGA Tour Q School going on in Ponte Vedra. Now, at final stage of Q School, the top five in ties names on that leaderboard at the end of this weekend will punch their ticket to the PGA Tour. And we have a Houston native who is co-leading that right now. His name is Matthew Rydell. He's a young player out of Vanderbilt that was a vowed Victorian at Stratford High School here in Houston. And, you know, he had a great year on the Corn Ferry Tour, which is the PGA Tour's AAA. So we're going to hear from some sound from Rydell after his second round yesterday. Once again, he is tied in the lead at 3 under. Horrible weather in Ponte Vedra. Super high score. So we'll get to Q School. You have the Alfred Dunhill Championship. That's the DP World Tour's fourth event of their 2025 schedule. Marcus Kinnelt leads that tournament by one at 13 under. And then you have the mixed Grant Thornton Invitational going on in Naples right now, where Jake Knapp, Patty Tavitanikit lead by one at 14 under. You have a lot of great players there at the Grant Thornton. You know, Akshay Bhatia is playing with Jennifer Kupcho. JT Poston's playing with Maja Stark. You know, tons of great. Jason Day is playing alongside Lydia Ko. Daniel Berger alongside Nelly Korda. A ton of good stuff there going on at the Grant Thornton. We got to take a quick break. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
Three fingers in the honeycomb. You ring just like the xylophone.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Nice to have you with us on a Saturday morning, continuing as far as the world of golf is concerned. Once again, you know, final stage of Q School for the PGA Tour, to me, is the most competitive event going on this weekend in the world of golf. You can watch that this afternoon on Golf Channel, and then the final round will be broadcasted again. You can watch the third round today, this afternoon, on Golf Channel, and then tomorrow the final round will be shown on Golf Channel between 2 and 4. But really, this is the reason this is the most competitive tournament of the week is because, you know, if you finish top five or ties at Q School, you get your PGA Tour card. Yet, if you finish below the top 45, you could ultimately lose your job and have no status on any professional tour next year. There's really nothing like it. Once again, it's going on at Sawgrass Country Club in Dyes Valley. And Houston native Matthew Rydell co-leading after two rounds at 3 under par. I mean, the weather is absolutely horrible. 3 under co-leading. Now, Rydell was the code valedictorian at Stratford High School. He then took his talents to Vanderbilt, graduated earlier this year. That was a competitive Vanderbilt team with Gordon Sargent and John Augustine. Rydell, excellent college career. And he's really grinded through the weather conditions great this week. I asked Rydell at the beginning of this week what he was most looking forward to. And he said, look, the weather, the more the wind gets up, the more I'm used to it. In Houston and in Texas, we have a ton of wind. And he echoed those statements after round two in his interview.
I've just grown up in Houston. We've kind of always had a little bit of wind. I feel like I play pretty well in the wind too, and just tough conditions. We played a lot of tough amateur events too in some wind, so I like it. It suits me well. I'm a good ball striker and can kind of flight some shots and get creative with it, but no, I like that.
I'm looking forward to seeing what Rydell can do this weekend. You know, you also have a guy, a little-known Corey Sean. He was leading after day one of Q School. He opened with a 9-under-61, which was a course record at Dye Valleys. You know, Corey Sean, he struggled on day two, shooting a 6-over-76. But, you know, due to the terrible weather conditions, Sean is still tied at the top heading into the third round. Here was Corey Sean after round two.
I mean, just to have the opportunity means a lot. Coming into this week, you always know that five cards is kind of a long shot. It's not to say that you don't think you can do it on a really good week, but it's at the same time, it's statistically really tough to do. So I think as a result, it just becomes a little bit more patience and accepting. It was extremely difficult. The conditions were really tough. It was windy. It was cold. It was probably tougher than I expected just based on the weather forecast. But despite all that, it's like you still got to go out there and try to shoot a score. I didn't play my best. It was not my worst, but at the same time, just so easy to rack up bogeys out there in today's weather. And I just felt like hopefully I can clean up a couple things, hit a few more greens, but it was just a really tough day. And at the end of the day, if you're still in contention for five tour cards after two rounds, it's a good spot to be in.
Charlie, we just catching you up here. Matthew Rydell. Now, we just heard from Corey Sean. This guy shot 61 on day one. He's still co-leading after the 6-over-76 because of the weather conditions. But you've got the once co-valedictorian of Stratford High School, Matthew Rydell, and a share of the lead at Q School. And he went to Stratford, then took his talents to Vanderbilt. So you've got a little Houston action going on at final stage of Q School, which is great. Charlie Wiley knows him. You know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think I've seen him play, but I didn't know. I knew he went to Vanderbilt, but I didn't know that it turned pro. It sounds good. That other gentleman you were talking to, interviewing or listening to his interview, I don't think he's going to finish. He's really nervous. You can see it, hear it in his eyes or see it in his face, you know, whatever you want to say. But the nerves have got him. It was 61 the first day?
61-76. Still co-leading at 3-under. But you're exactly right. I've never heard a golfer go, you know, the statistics say, you know, I'm probably not going to make it, but we'll give it our best go, you know? Maybe he's a little too smart, Charlie.
Yep.
Now, Charlie, I also asked, you know, we talked about the two courses this is being hosted at, Sawgrass Country Club and Dyes Valley. You know, I asked the PGA Tour at the beginning of the week, I said, hey, you're not going to use the stadium course for final stage at Q School with the, you know, that's where they host the players, and there's three courses at Sawgrass, and they don't want the wear and tear, Charlie.
No, they got to protect their asset. You know, they're charging $900 a round of golf, and the tour school doesn't bring in any revenue, so they move it to. And those golf courses are challenging enough. That's fine.
Yeah.
They'll determine how many cards you're getting out. Five.
Yeah, five and ties.
Almost five not worth ties. It.
Yeah.
But I think
you went through Q school a couple times, didn't you?
A couple times, yes, I sure did. Yeah. First time in 1969.
Was it six rounds then?
No, then it was four.
Okay.
But I went to one that was eight.
Ooh.
We played up at Silverado in Napa, and then we drove down to the desert. But, you know, those were fun days. I mean, there were you know, a lot of good players and everybody wanting to get the fame and fortune.
Yeah.
And they did that, you know, Fuzzy Zeller and Bobby Watkins and Lanny Watkins and all those guys came up through the tour school.
Now today, you know, top five and ties get their PGA Tour card, and then there's a whole nother section of those who finish between tied for sixth and 40th that'll get conditional on Korn Ferry and mm-hmm. Americo's. When you were playing, Charlie, there was PGA Tour cards on the line, and if you didn't get those, you had to go find another job, right?
Yeah, or you go Monday qualify.
Okay. Yeah,
Monday qualify. So, but no, all you know, the golf popularity in the professional ranks is incredible.
Yeah,
and both for the ladies and for the men, the tour school, it was one way to get on the tour, but now they have their university rankings that get them straight, and the guys that come and girls that come from the university ranks are really well prepared, better prepared than the kids coming out of the tour school, you might say. So we'll see.
They absolutely are. The PGA Tour university ranking, if you finish first on PGA Tour U right out of college, you can get your PGA Tour card. I believe it's top three on PGA Tour. You get their PGA Tour card. And then after that, once again, 5 through 15 get their Korn Ferry Tour cards. 15 to 20 get their Americos cards. So many different tours to play on now and to get ready.
Yep.
I wanted to get back to one thing on Scottie Scheffler. I wanted to get your opinion on this claw grip. You know, a lot was made of Scheffler switching to the claw for shorter putts last week, Charlie. It performed well for him at Albany. Here was Scheffler to the media on whether we'll see more of the claw in 2025.
Going into this week, it was something that I wanted to test out. You know, like I said, you can always practice and do everything at home, but competition's always just a slightly different animal, and so it was really good to come out here and compete, get under pressure, play with the lead, play close to the lead most of the week, and I felt really comfortable. And so, you know, I would definitely assume that it's going to be there in Maui. And but like I said, you know, I'll go home and assess the week, and you know, we'll talk to Phil. But overall, I felt like the results and the way I felt over the ball, I was really comfortable in competition, and I was pretty pleased.
He looked very comfortable with the claw grip, and all these grips, left hand low, you know, long putters, they've been tried, you know, since, you know, the 1800s, everybody looking for the secret. But and it's good to have. I mean, the year Jack Nicklaus won his last major, he came out with a putter that looked like a sledgehammer, you know, and completely different from Jack Nicklaus. And he said, "What? Well, I got nothing to lose. I'll try it." And he won the Masters. So change sometimes is the best way to get yourself out of a slump. Go completely the opposite way. And so 2025 is going to be an interesting year for golf. We got a lot of great golfers. We got the Ryder Cup. Now they're even saying that maybe if the two Live Golf PGA, you know, they could play for the Ryder Cup. What do you think of that?
A Ryder Cup among their own.
No,
tours.
No. I think the Ryder Cup would you know, the.
Well, they've already the Ryder Cup already accepts the European and American players.
Yeah,
but they would do kind of a Ryder Cup of PGA Tour versus Live.
It could become
another.
The Ryder Cup could become that challenge.
Yeah, we're gonna hear. We have some sound we're going to hear a bit later on in the third segment, actually, right after this.
Did I spoil your...
No, you didn't. But Tiger talked about Ryder Cup payment.
Yeah.
You know, Charlie, that this was something that was discussed in 99 at Brookline, and it was rejected. And, you know, it seems like the players are kind of more joking about it. You know, Scheffler came out and made a bit of a joke that they're not making enough money and the Ryder Cup should pay them to play. He was joking, but there's a rumor out there that there's some, you know, Americans who think they should be paid, you know, at least $400,000 to compete in the Ryder Cup.
They already get $250,000. Yeah. And that money they can use to disperse through their charity. Yeah. So it's not that they're poor boying it at all.
Yeah, so if they were at that $250,000, can they pocket that, or is it required to go to charity?
They go to charity.
Okay.
You know, but once again, greed is a horrible thing, but it's a professional game, and, you know, what do the players get paid in the World Cup and so on and so forth? And how much is it? You know, each member of the Ryder Cup has in their contracts with their equipment dealer and all that, you make the Ryder Cup, you get an extra $100,000. Mm. You know, there's incentives in all those contracts. So I don't feel sorry for the PGA Tour player.
Yeah. Robert McIntyre, who is a Scot, he won twice on the PGA Tour this year. He said that there's no conversation about that going on the European side. To them, it's a complete honor. They talk about Seve. You know, there's do you know if the European side gets the same kind of payment there? Is it $250,000?
Yeah.
Wow. A couple lies being told.
Stretching the truth.
The Europeans say they would never play the Ryder Cup for money.
Okay.
We got to take a quick break. On the other side, we'll hear from Tiger on a little bit of Ryder Cup payment. We'll hear from Tiger on the PGA Tour and PIF, and we'll hear from Tiger about PGA Tour card reductions. We'll also get to your questions here on the other side of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
All right, a couple things on Tiger here. He did a lot of talking last week at the Hero World Challenge. Number one, as we were talking about, in the second segment, is the idea of players getting paid to play in the Ryder Cup. It's never happened. As Charlie said, players do get $250,000 for the charities of their choice. As we also know, you know, the Ryder Cup, is there a tournament on the schedule that makes more money, Charlie? Or I'm sure the Masters is number one. The Ryder Cup has to be up there
British Open.
Yeah, British Open. Yeah. That's going to Royal Portrush this year, Charlie, in 25.
Is it going back over
Yeah, Port
there?
Rush, where Shane Lowry won in 2019. Have you been there?
He still isn't sobered up since that.
He has not won since.
I've been there. I've played there. Ireland is beautiful to play golf. And Port Rush is an incredible piece of property. It has a elevation to it. You know, you go up and you go down and you go around and you go by the ocean. It's a marvelous place to have a championship. It's a marvelous place to take a vacation.
Yeah. I would say that that'd be the major that I'm most looking forward to, but it's got to be the U.S. Open at Oakmont this year, Charlie, where your guy Angel Cabrera won his first major in 2007.
Isn't that something? It's been that long.
Yeah. Down the street there from La Trobe.
Not down the street. You got a couple-hour drive.
Where Arnold's office is?
Arnold's.
Did he have an office at Oakmont?
No.
No?
He had a pitcher everywhere, but not an office. His office up at La Trobe is incredible. I've been in there.
How many clubs in there?
10,000.
Wow.
He's got a garage full of everything. Yeah. Memorabilia. He was the man.
And Arnold didn't let anyone work on his clubs. He worked on his own clubs, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you see that too much today.
No. They just said, give me a new one.
Yeah. Will Angel have an exemption to the U.S. Open this year since he's a past champion at Oakmont?
No, his exemption is a winner of a U.S. Open is 10 years.
Okay. Now, what's the deal? You know, Champions Tour.
He won in 2007, so 2017 was his last year.
Interesting. I'm surprised that at the venue that he won, you know, wouldn't be given an exemption then there. I was very surprised to see him playing in Champions Tour Q School last week. And, well, and
he's just trying to increase his percentages to be 100%, you know, exempt to all the tournaments, which he's not. So he came up and tried it and missed it by two, but only five.
What is the deal with that? A Masters champion and a U.S. Open champion.
He has to go
to Q School for Champions Tour, where you have at least 30 other full members who don't even have close to that kind of resume.
Yeah, well, but the rules are the rules, and they have the Open means that it's open to everybody. So you got to go qualify to get in a certain ranking.
Yeah.
And right now he hasn't, you know, because of what he did in his past, he didn't play for 3 years. So you lose your status. Your numbers, you know, go down instead of going up.
Yeah.
And exemptions are at a premium. But he got five or six exemptions this past year, and it came close.
So well too.
Yeah he did, and so he's getting ready for next year.
Wow, it'll be interesting to see. Dickie Pride also missed by one.
Yeah,
Champions Tour Q School might be the toughest qualifying school. Only five players.
Five
new players every year.
Yep,
really incredible. Let's get to some of this Tiger audio. We'll start with Tiger voicing his thoughts on potential Ryder Cup payment.
Well, I would have to say that going back to my playing days, we had the same conversation back in 99, and it was we didn't want to get paid. We wanted to give more money to charity. And the media turned it around against us and said, we want to get paid. the Ryder Cup itself makes so much money. Why can't we allocate it to various charities? And what's wrong with each player, 12 players, getting $1 million and you be able to divvy it out to amazing charities that they're involved in, that they can help out? It's their hometowns and where they're from, all the different junior golf associations or endeavors that the members are involved in. It's never really bent about getting paid. Is how can we allocate funds to be able to help our sport or help things that we believe in back home, because it's so hard to get onto that team. There's only 12 guys. What's wrong with being able to allocate more funds?
So do you think, again, now the issue is one of messaging, that the players should make it clear whatever money they get will go to charity?
I hope they get $5 million each and donate all of the charity, different charities, okay, right? I think it's great. What's wrong with that?
They could create a little NIL charity, Charlie. They could create a little fund for the junior golfers already profiting on NIL. But yeah, there's Tiger on.
How does that work? How does that work for the guys that football players that go and they get a year and they get $1 million? You know, like at University of Texas, we've got the Manning kid.
Yeah, making $5 million a year.
Yeah, is that what he's?
I think he has the second largest NIL contract to Bronny James. Well, Bronny's in the NBA now, but that was I know last year we'd have to get a football guy in here to talk about what's going on in the world of football. I know last year Bronny James, I think he made $7.4 million in NIL, and Arch was second at $5 million. And as far as the world of football, I don't know how it all works there. As far as golf, you know, I can tell you, I've talked to a couple guys from Baylor that have NIL deals, and you know, they get there's financial service companies in Waco. They've got car dealerships that want to do deals with them. The local Chevy dealership in Waco has an NIL deal with the entire team, so the whole team wears the dealership logo on the side of their hats, and the money that Chevy is paying to Baylor gets divvied out among all the players, and that would be a fair NIL deal for the entire team. But then, let's say another Waco financial service company came in to John Kiefer, who's now, you know, in PGA Tour Q school and is probably going to be on the PGA Tour next year. If they told John Kiefer, you know, Waco Financial Company, hey, we want to give you, you know, $1 million and, you know, create a couple social media posts, put our logo on your bag, and it's a done deal. And same with golf club companies. We haven't even talked about golf club companies. They're the ones that are putting in the most into the NIL in golf. TaylorMade, Titleist.
What does NIL stand for?
Name, image, and likeness. So college athletes making a profit on their name.
Which is only fair.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, you look at big time names like Reggie Bush and Johnny Manziel. I mean, these schools made hundreds upon millions of dollars off their name. They didn't get a cent. In fact, Reggie Bush got his Heisman Trophy taken away for a period of time because I think he, don't quote, it was either autographs or, now I'll have to confirm that, he did something to kind of break the old rules as far as, you know, money getting paid to players. But then they gave it back. They gave it back to Reggie. But anyways, it's a crazy time. Blades Brown, who's a 15-year-old, he made the cut at a PGA Tour event this year. He still has 2 years left until college, and he's got deals with Travis Mathew, Callaway. I mean, incredible. I'm sure your Charlie Wiley could get it. You know, I'm sure they're getting offers left and right. Once again, unconfirmed, but it's quite a team they have there up at TCU.
Yeah, they're putting together a pretty good team.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. Ryder Cup, Tiger, we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
As far as the payment, Tiger also spoke, you know, we're all waiting for this deal to come together between the PGA Tour and the Saudis. It's not going to be a full merger. Everyone's using the word merger. You know, what sounds like is the most that's going to happen is the PIF is going to get a 10% stake in the PGA Tour. Let's hear what Tiger had to say about that last week.
Well, I think that all of us who have been a part of this process would have thought that it would have happened quicker than this. Even if it did, we're still at the regulations of the DOJ saying it's giving us ominous dominance that it'll go through. So even if we had gotten a deal done by now, it is still in the DOJ's hands. But what we wish we would have had something more concrete and further along than we are right now. But things are very fluid. We're still working through it. It's happening daily. From a policy board standpoint or from an enterprise standpoint, things are moving and they're constructive. But yes, definitely moving.
Yeah, not much there from Tiger on really any update.
You think he'll become the commissioner
of the PGA Tour? I think he could. I think if it hadn't been for the scandal, Tiger could have been voted for the president of the United States. What do you think about that?
Huh?
I think if it wasn't for the scandal in 2007 and Tiger would have continued along that path of being invincible, I think he could have run for president one day.
Okay.
He never made a B in his life. What did Earl always say, Charlie? That he was going to do something bigger than golf.
Yeah, that's for sure. And his foundation is second to none. I mean, it's all over the country, and it's doing so many good things for a lot of kids that would never have anything. So my hat's off to Tiger.
We got a ton of questions to get to, Charlie. We're out of time in this segment. Back in a couple minutes, we'll get to one last quote from Tiger on PGA Tour reductions and then get to all your questions. This is Charlie Epps, Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Ah, Charlie, I mean, Chris DeMarco gets a full card on the Champions Tour. They're making Angel qualify.
That's the way it is.
What's the deal, Charlie? This is not fair. This is not fair in my eyes. But I'm sure he'll still get a full list of starts. What do you think? He'll start the year with 8-9 starts on the Champions Tour?
Well, yeah, he has a number right now because he finished in the top 40 from last year. So he's going to do all right. But, yeah, he's paying for his transgressions.
Yeah.
And everybody, the players that respected him and it was a good year considering everything
that went on.
And so 2025 should be even better.
I'm sure a lot of tournament directors out there want to see him.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get to a couple questions for you, Charlie. Here's Luke. Charlie, I heard the Skins game was making a return to professional golf. We haven't seen it since 2008. What are your thoughts about these types of spinoff events?
Well, you know, I enjoyed them. I back when they started the silly season, the funny season, you know, they have a purpose in golf because those venues would make money for the local charities, and then they would show the game in a different light and have match plays and, you know, so on and so forth. So I thought it was good for the game.
How tough is it, you know, looking back in the early 80s when the Skins game first started with Gary Player and Arnold Palmer and Fuzzy Zeller and Raymond Floyd, you know, Lee Trevino, those were all such great personalities.
Yes.
And they all had their own individual identity between Lee Trevino, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus. Charlie, a lot of field at the top players in our game today, and this is no knock, but Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, everyone maybe besides Bryson DeChambeau is a little bit more of a robotic personality. They've all been media trained, and you know, they're all trying to act a specific way. Does that lack of personality take away from events like the Skins game?
Well, you want the characters to be in that one-on-one situation where they can come off with some good quotes and some good shots, and Lee Trevino and DeChambeau, two personalities. Lee Trevino was always very entertaining. Nicklaus was Nicklaus, and Arnold Palmer was Arnold Palmer. Today, you have 50 guys that would move the needle a little. You got five guys, you know, Scheffler.
Yeah. Scottie Scheffler. I'd put Bryson DeChambeau number two.
But he's in LIV.
I know. He can't play on the PGA Tour. Now, if you look at the top of the PGA Tour FedEx Cup, it goes, you know, Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Sahith Theegala finished third. Once again, very nice guys. All very nice guys, but not a distinguished personality in the mix there.
Exactly right.
You know, and you're going to get a kind of a modified Skins game on Tuesday. Once again, the PGA Tour announced the Skins game will be back Friday, November 28th of 2025. That's Black Friday next year. You know, this was announced right after Rory McIlroy came out and said it took him a few times to get a release for the showdown that's going to take place this Tuesday on TNT. That'll be on at 6 p.m. Eastern time with Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau facing off against Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy for $10 million. They listened to me after I was...
$10 million.
They're playing for $10 million. I think a portion of it going to charity, Charlie. Portion of it going to charity.
$4.
Now, unlike some of the previous matches, you know, some of these matches were 12 holes. That's not a round of golf. The showdown on Tuesday is going to be 18 holes. So that's good news. It'll be a full round of golf. You'll have Charles Barkley doing the commentating. He's going to be joined by Ernie Johnson, the great Ernie Johnson, as well as Trevor Immelman and David Faraday. Yeah, they're bringing Faraday back for this, Charlie?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, he still
good for
says
him.
A lot of funny things.
Yeah, good
sometimes.
For him. Good for him. Now, yeah, let's get to another question here. Let's get to Murray. Charlie, trying to pick out some new wedges to buy over the holiday season. How do you pick between all of these different brands?
Well, there's, you know, players, you know, today there's what, four major. You got Callaway, you got Titleist making great wedges.
Ping
is
TaylorMade. What do you think about PXG?
PXG, you know, they've hung in there. Yeah. I mean, they haven't, you know, dominated the market like they might have thought they were going to. But now, see, the trick of this is all manufacturers in every area have fitting days, and they'll go to daily fee golf courses like Golf Club of Houston and the range, and people can go
Westwood, Gus Wortham.
Can go out and try them. And so look in the newspaper and see when the fitting days are concerned. But if you have a favorite brand, whether it be TaylorMade or Callaway, PXG, PXG has its own retail operation here in Houston. Yeah. So you can go to that. So there's a lot of different ways to skin the cat to get the new equipment. I like to go into Edwin Watson and look in the sale barrel, and you might see a wedge that was mistreated, but yet still playable. You can go in there and get a wedge for $35 and not $150.
You found some gems in there, huh, Charlie?
Yeah.
Talking about putter fittings.
Yes.
And what Scheffler has kind of debunked, but I think an idea that you're already familiar with, Charlie, when I watch you putt, you know, contrary to a lot of teachers saying the wrists need to stay dead still in the putting stroke, I see some give in your wrists.
Yep.
And the club head leading.
Leg.
Yeah, on the way back.
And release it.
I feel like that's not a common thing that's taught. And a lot of people try to get really stiff over the putter.
Yeah, and it's analysis by paralysis or paralysis by however you say it, you know.
That's just always how you've rolled the rock.
That's all, you know. Back when I was learning how to putt, the greens weren't as fast, and there were a lot of grain, and so you would look to add loft. You know, loft on a putter is no more than 2 to 3 degrees, yeah. And sometimes when you get in the grain and all that, you want to get the ball in the air to try to make it. Yeah. But nowadays, the greens are much more sophisticated. And they have a much better roll. So,
do you still putt with a classic blader, or have you tested out some of these more brick looking putters?
I like mallets. Oh. Mallets are good. But if you take for example, you go over to Memorial Park today, they reconditioned that golf course. The Memorial Park putting green is one of wonderful putting greens in municipal golf, and you can go over there and try off, you know, your different putters and the different ways of hitting the ball, you know, and how much loft. If you go from 2 degrees to 4 degrees, if you get a lot of loft, then you want to de-loft it. So it's a science, but it's part of the game, and you can have fun with it.
One more from Kane. Hey, Charlie, I was playing a game yesterday at the golf course, and on the third hole, my ball plugged in a greenside bunker. I tried to take a drop, but my playing partner said I had to play it as it lies. I don't think I'll be playing with him again. What are your thoughts? This guy.
Well, the rules, the bunker is a hazard, first of all. You know, and so you don't get the embedded ball rule in a hazard. You just got to play it like it is, or if not, with penalty, take it out of the hazard and drop it no closer to the hole within one club length. And that's a fair rule in golf that allows you to circumvent your mistakes. So I would do that. And as far as your buddy is concerned, he was right. You know, you can't move the ball in a bunker. Yeah. And so
when you're plugged, you get a little bit more steeper on it. Is the face square or open?
No, well, that's a good question. You get a lot of people that you close the club face too much to let the toe dig, and that'll help get the sand out, because you want to get the sand around the ball out of the bunker, and that sand will take the ball out of the bunker.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense.
Very good.
Makes complete sense. I come at it with a little bit more of a square face.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look about 2 inches behind the ball. And really, I don't know if you agree with this, Charlie, but when I'm plugged, I'm putting a lot of force in behind the ball, but there's not really a through swing there,
yeah.
Charlie.
Well, because the sand stops you. But there's three things. You want to get the ball out, get it on the green, and then get it close.
Yeah.
you know, realize you made a mistake. Bunker is a hazard, but you can practice certain shots and get good at it. So do some, you know, practicing. Take a bunker lesson this year. Yeah. Not only, you know, should you take a full swing, but also chipping, pitching, and bunker play. Bunker play, you know, greenside bunkers are then fairway bunkers. They're two different animals.
Hey, go get a lesson over the holidays.
Yeah.
Why not? You got any big plans over the holidays, Charlie?
Yeah, I'm not going to do anything.
Not going to do it. You're staying at home.
No, we have a nice Christmas Eve. We go to, my wife loves to go to Second Baptist and hear the beautiful music, you know, and that Christmas Eve music is really beautiful. Yeah. And
but you've got your traveling in for the month.
Oh yeah, I've done enough.
You're done with the airports, huh? Are they getting any better? Do you have any issues?
No, I was fine. We had no problem.
Customs was fine down there in Puerto Vallarta?
Yeah, they were very friendly. They really improved their because tourism has become so popular for that area that everybody's nice. Yeah. Come on, gringo, let's have some fun.
All right, Charlie, we'll be back with you next Saturday. We'll be looking forward
to
that.
We done already?
Yeah, we're done. 8:58, we got to get out of here. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity. Thank you, Abigail, behind the ones and twos.
Abigail. How about Abigail?
Rock star. We'll see you next weekend.
You enjoy your donut?
I'm about to, yes.
And nothing like some good Shipley's. Nothing like some good Shipley's. We'll see you next weekend here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference.